What's up, everybody? Welcome back into another episode of Cult Film Cafe Does Halloween. Yes, of course, it is me, one of your hosts, Jonathan. And as always, I'm joined by my partner in crime, Kenzie McLean.
Ho, ho, ho. Hello there.
That is way too Christmassy for
I didn't even mean it to be. I did not mean that. I might do that later on. But yeah, I didn't mean it that time.
So yeah, that's kind of threw it off a wee bit. But anyway, on this episode, we will be taking a look at a new film, one that dropped only about a month or so ago in the UK. It is Smile, the supernatural horror film that was written and directed by Parker Finn.
What is it you like to talk about?
My patient. Hi. I know you're nervous. I just want to have a chat.
I'm seeing something no one else can see except for me. It's smiling at me. No! Oh my God!
Yesterday, a patient in your care died brutally in front of you.
I need to find an explanation for what happened.
It's smiling at me. It's smiling at me.
Cases involving 19 victims with a direct line linking them all together.
You said only 19. Why is it that everybody else who's seen it is dead and you're alive? I've seen it too.
You?
Get her away from me!
How long between each victim's death?
None of them survived longer than a week.
Today's my fourth day.
I am not gonna keep running.
I have to face it.
How does it make you feel?
I'm just really scared that something bad is going to happen.
So, yeah, another new film, or at least the newest film. We've done two 2022 releases already in Fresh and The Black Phone. This is the third one, but the newest one. And we decided when we were making a list of films that we should probably pick one that was current and out around this time of year. So Kenzie decided to choose this. I'm not entirely sure why, but I'll let him explain why he chose this one.
So, I chose this one because it looked really creepy. I think, like, I saw, like, the thumbnail. The thumbnail was all over. This film was very well advertised. Even more than The Black Phone. The Black Phone was advertised quite well. I think people just know this is the type of horror film that's right up what people want to see, kind of scary, creepy ones. You get like a lot of scary horror films, you don't get a lot of like kind of the creepy ones, and this one certainly is that. So yeah, it was advertised like a lot, and my friend Jeet, who's into the kind of horror films and get a lot of, well, he's into horror films that give you jump scares, he saw the trailer and he showed it to me, and I was like, oh, that was pretty creepy. And when I went to the cinema to watch Bullet Train, saw the trailer again, and even like my dad said, that looks quite creepy, I'd like to watch that. And I think a lot of people felt the same. They're like, yeah, this looks a bit different, and you know, it's a bit spooky, very unnerving. So they're, that I was like, yeah, I should probably do this because this one looks like it's going to be a standout this year. So yeah, that's why I chose it.
Yeah, fair. It does have a lot of the hallmarks and a lot of the advertising trailers, you know, short trailers that are on social media, like say Instagram, stuff like that. It did have its own sort of unique feel. But my God, when I was watching this, I was expecting something super original and a wow me. Mm-hmm. And what I got is something that kind of feels like a homage or a mishmash of other horror films, or, you know, the good bits of other horror films that he's just kind of riffed off. And that's not a bad thing. You know, at this point in cinema, a lot of things are going to be covered. It's going to be very, very difficult to write something that's fully unique start to finish. And to be honest with you, that sort of stuff won't get picked up and funded. You need some form of narrative structure that has been put in place over a number of years that the audience will respond to. But this, I was just expecting for a little bit of something different, and I just never ever got it. It was kind of one of those films that went along, and for the most part, for me, this is very boring. Yeah, there's some jump scares and there's some creepy, creepy moments. And I, granted, there is some sort of out there kind of fucked up moments in the film where you'll be like, oh, it's minging, oh, it's gross. Oh, you know, there's one good jump scare for me, really. And it kind of feels a bit out of place in a weird way. But yeah, I was just expecting a lot more, and it kind of sputtered a wee bit for me. It never really got off the ground.
I think I feel a little bit differently to it. I'll completely agree on you that it's quite like other films, and I was a bit surprised as well, because the trailer made it seem, now that I think about it, it didn't really, but the trailer kept it quite secretive, but you could kind of see that you could have possibly seen where it was going. I didn't really expect it. I kind of watched the trailer, I was like, oh, this is going to be kind of new, but no, pretty much what we got is another type of The Ring or like It Follows, which is already two films that we've done on this podcast. So yeah, it's pretty much them, and it's like an in-between. It's kind of a bit more like, it's a mix. It's genuinely a mix of both films. It's quite weird. It seems to work more like The Ring, but it has like the multiple different people get kind of after you, like It Follows. I wasn't expecting this. I was expecting something a little bit different, not like a kind of curse. This is starting to become its own genre now, the Ring style films. What should we call them? The 7-day films. I don't know what really to call them.
Yeah, because this is another one that in the film, there's only one person that's been cursed that's lived longer than 7 days without obviously passing it on.
Yeah.
And I think that was that the guy that, the teacher that ended up killing himself, and I think he survived like 10 days or something like that. I'm not sure if it's referenced, but he's the only one that does it. Yeah, but my problem is though, the way that the curse works is just a total rip-off of It Follows. And the thing that makes It Follows so good to me is it feels so original. And it is, because nobody else, although it is a curse and there is things like The Ring out there, it felt so fresh and new, whereas when you watch a film like this, you go, ah, it feels a lot like It Follows. And that's kind of a letdown for me. But that's just my opinion. And, I mean, if you've listened to the podcast on It Follows, you'll know how much I absolutely love that film. And this film's nowhere near as good as it. There's nowhere near close.
I think there's a lot to like about this film, but I also feel there's a lot of things to kind of somewhat criticise about it. To start with, I think this film is shot very well. A lot of good shots in this film. I even saw a Dutch tilt in there at one point. I like a Dutch tilt. I think Dutch tilt should get used more often. It's something about a Dutch tilt just makes something very kind of gives it a kind of weird, creepy style to it. I quite like Dutch tilts, so please, directors, use more of them in your horror films.
I mean, yeah, like a Dutch angle. I mean, like fair. But I feel, this is another thing, I feel like the filmmaker here is kind of going along the sort of Ari Aster route of style.
Yes, a little
over
bit.
Substance sometimes. So you see the shots that flip upside down and shit, and they just don't need to be there. And it's actually, I know it's, it's there to make you feel uneasy, and it does that. So maybe it's right. It's just, I just really don't like the use of them.
Really?
Yeah. A couple of times they're good, but it happens too many times. And sometimes at times where I just like, you know, nah, maybe it just a cleaner shot would be good. I don't know. It's just my opinion. It's just, I do get, like, this director, you know, this is based on his short film that came out in 2020. Sorry. It's based on Parker Finn's short film, which came out in 2020 called Laura Hasn't Slept. And this has obviously just been picked up and sort of fleshed out to a feature length. I've not seen the short film. I don't know how good it is. It might be an absolute spectacular 10, 15, 20-minute film. And me and Kenzie have said this numerous times on the podcast, that sometimes concepts, if they're shorter, might be better because, you know, you're condensing all the good stuff into a shorter time frame. That's maybe one aspect. And the second part is I think he's trying to pull off techniques or, you know, and he's obviously got a lot of influence about all these new upcoming young, well, not upcoming, but these young upcoming directors or upcoming directors are probably like looking for inspiration from all these successful sort of horror filmmakers out there. And Ari Aster's one that does catch the eye. You know, we've done a Hereditary podcast. As much as we don't like the film, we did praise the way that it's made. And, you know, there's a lot of great technical aspects of that film. And I feel like this is where Parker Finn's went. He's went, you know what, I'll steal a bit of It Follows. I'll steal a bit of Ari Aster's sort of filmmaking style. You know, I'll steal a wee bit of James Wan here. I'll try and maybe pinch a wee bit of Scott Derrickson for there. Do you know, and that's maybe how he's ended up where he has with this film. Do you know, and obviously a bit of earlier stuff like The Ring. And I think the reason that people think it's like The Ring is, yeah, it's a curse. It's not that, it's the investigative element to this film as well. There's police in it, you know, she goes to police, she tries to work out things. It's very much like The Ring in that aspect, unlike a film like It Follows, which doesn't have that aspect in it. So it feels different. You're not watching It Follows and going, oh, they've kind of took The Ring and put a twist on it, because they don't. They've left a lot of what people like about The Ring, especially Kenzie. He said it on the podcast that he likes that kind of more thriller crime element, because it does add stuff to the narrative and you can do a bit more when you've got a bit more depth. This, I think, just didn't quite get there.
Yeah. I've got a few things to say. Yes. The filming is a little bit like Ari Aster's. There's even a few times where it uses like the slow pan shot, which is actually used quite a few times in Hereditary, and it kind of gave me PTSD of that film. I saw it in this, but I like that pass. My main criticism with this film is that it really feels like a short film. Like it feels. I don't know how to like fully describe it. It feels like a concept of a short film. Still, and it's meant to be feature length, and I still feel like I could find this movie in like 5 minutes on like YouTube. I think a lot of short people who make short films and going to make a movie have a lot of issues with like properly porting it over to like a feature length. Like one example would be Lights Out. Lights Out is a good short. It's a good short film. If you've seen it, it's quite creepy. It's quite good. It ends with a really kind of creepy moment. They changed it into a film, and it was all right, but it was like nowhere near as good as the short, and just, I don't know, it wasn't really that good. It felt kind of cheap, kind of almost. It was. I don't know what the budget was in the film, but it felt kind of low budget. And this film has that same feeling to it, where it just feels like it's somewhat cheap. It doesn't feel like a proper film. It feels somewhat cheaper. Although I will say this comes across better than what Lights Out did.
I mean, I can't comment on David F. Sandberg's Light Out short or feature length. I haven't checked him out. I mean, like I said, I've said numerous times, I'm not somebody that seeks out horror films to watch on a regular basis. But yeah, I don't necessarily think that's the filmmaker's fault, though. I think what happens is you produce a short film that people love, and they instantaneously will go, can you make that, but make it an hour and 45 minutes, or an hour and a half, or 2 hours, or whatever whatever the sort of length of time, you know, would make it a feature. And I think that's maybe the wrong way for these production companies to go in, or, you know, whoever the financiers are. Maybe they should approach somebody that they really like their film and go, right, you've done that, that's really good. Can you write me a new feature-length film, which is really good, that's got nothing to do with what you've already done, but has elements which make your film good? Can you present them in a different way and in a different story and in a different narrative with your own twist, because you're competent to do it and you have done short films? I think that's probably not the filmmaker's fault. It's whoever's financing these projects, because they think that's really good, we could sell that as a feature length. But then, like you've said, it ends up getting convoluted and drawn out in a way where it loses its original, like, its original sort of spark that makes it unique, because they've tried to elongate it way too much and stretch it out, and it just doesn't hit the same.
I mean, yeah, I that's pretty much it, I feel like. Yeah, it's, this film does feel like really creepy, and it's like, actually, good job on this film, because it's probably one of the most creepy films I've seen. You really feel it at certain parts of the film, but then again, I still feel like I don't know how to describe this, but like, I feel like a short film's horror kind of aspect to it, the elements of horror in a short film compared to a feature film are different, and this one really feels like the kind of elements from the short film. It was originally a short film. It just feels different. They're usually more creepy or short films. I don't know why that is. There's just something about short films are really interesting. People don't really watch many short films. I recommend watching them, because there's like such a weird, a lot of people are so used to feature length films that like, it's really weird to watch something put into like a much smaller concept, and then it's really weird to see that same concept get stretched out to a film, and it's really bizarre. But honestly, for the most part, I think this film does it decently well. It keeps the kind of creepy and horror aspects of it quite up. The concept is fairly decent, although it's taken from multiple different things, so it seems like it's something new, but at the same time it completely isn't. Acting in it's strong, can't criticize that. There's nothing really to say about it. I don't recognize many of the actors in this film bar the main character's fiance, which I sat looking at for nearly the whole film, like, who is that? I didn't realize it's Usher. His name's Usher T something. It's Jesse T. Usher, that's it. Yeah, and what I was recognizing him from was The Boys. He plays A-Train in The Boys, although he must get much, much buffer for that role, because he does look quite different. Of course, there's also the main doctor guy. What's his name?
Cal Penn.
Cal Penn, yes. I recognised him as well. Wasn't really expecting to see him in this film, but that was kind of cool to see. I've seen him as a doctor before, and he's Harold and Kumar, isn't he?
No, he's Harold and Kumar, Cal Penn, yeah.
He also plays Dr. Kuttner in House, and so it was just so weird I've seen him as a doctor again.
We've got very different ins to Cal Penn. My in was Harold and Kumar get the munchies, or go to White Castle, whatever it's called in your country of origin. Yeah, he plays Kumar, and I'm pretty sure it's John Chu who is Harold. Is it not? Yeah.
Yes.
John Chu, John Chow, whoever you. Yeah, John Chow. They've obviously moved on and kind of grown up a bit more now, and you've kind of left that sort of comedy character behind. But no, that's how I recognised them.
Were they ever any good?
He was in House, Cal Penn.
He was in it for, he came in at series 4 when like House started changing. Was when he started teaching other doctors. But then they kill him off at the end of series 5. He commits suicide, like, out of nowhere. It was, like, really shocking. Because he wouldn't have expected it from that character, because he's quite a happy character and upgoing and very hopeful. And it just really was really shocking and dark. And yeah, but good show, House. And I've never seen Harold and Kumar, but I've heard, is it any good? I don't actually know.
they
are what they are.
They're what you expect them to be. Yeah. You know, I think there's three of them. MPH makes cameos in all of them. I quite like MPH. You know who MPH is, right?
No.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, right, okay.
MPH. Barney from...
How I Met Your Mother.
Like, the acting's kind of... The one's kind of baffled me is the women who you associate with the poster and, you know, the trailer and stuff is only in this film very, very briefly. Like, and I mean very briefly.
Yeah.
Which is quite weird, because normally you would expect that to be the main character. Obviously, it turns out it isn't. So, yeah, you've got Susie Bacon, who plays the main character. I think it must be Susie or Sosie. We're butchering names, but I would call her Susie. It's probably just spelt different, but it could be Sosie. I've just found out that she is the daughter of Kevin Bacon.
I was just about to ask that.
Yes. Yeah. Kevin Bacon's daughter. Yeah, she's the driver. She's the main force in this film. You know, like, everything goes through her, essentially. Even from the start of the film all the way through to the end of the movie. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the positives that have been noted on multiple reviews from critics about her performance in the film. Before we kind of go kind of more deep into maybe things that we like or dislike, do you want to just do a wee plot summary for people? We maybe should have started with that, but yeah. You know what our podcast's like? We don't always have a structure.
Yeah.
That way. Sometimes we just go the way the conversation flows.
Yeah, I was just about to go into that anyway. So, for anyone who's don't try
not to give spoilers, just because obviously it's a new film. With the other ones that we've done, most of them have been relatively old, so we don't mind spoiling them, because you'll have probably went out to see them already. I mean, and if not, they've been out for multiple years. At this point, I mean, this is still playing in theatres or cinemas in the UK, so people might be going out in the next couple of days to go and see it. But yeah, we should maybe just kind of give a summary of what the film is and sort of where it goes.
Yeah. I'm going to struggle talking about some points in the film, because I'm going to have to try and work my way around it, but we'll get there when we get there. But yeah, pretty much the plot of this film is a plot you've kind of seen before. So it pretty much goes this. I mean, it starts with like a little thing, but you don't really need to know about that. If you watch the film, you'll see that, and it will come into play later in the film. When it properly starts, you follow Miss Bacon, you follow her, and she's a therapist. Dr. Rose Cotter.
You follow Mrs. Bacon. Fucking
mate, I don't know. So you follow her, and she's just kind of going about her day, and as a kind of a therapist in like a doctor hospital clinic.
She's a psychiatrist.
Our psychiatrist, yeah.
And she's like a therapist. Like... Fucking hell. Kenzie, did you actually watch this film?
She said in the film that she was a therapist.
No, but she works at a psychiatric ward. She works at an emergency sort of psychiatric unit where it's like inpatients come in rapidly. And she's just one of the psychiatrists there. I'll let Kenzie go on now.
So pretty much a new person has just came in. She goes to see this person. It's this young woman, the person from the poster. She starts explaining that she's seeing this like thing, and it's like following her. She's seeing it as different people. The minute I heard that, by the way, I just went, this is it follows.
Yeah,
that's really weird, but we'll get past that in the moment. And she sees it at different places, and it's just always smiling. And she's like, it's not here. It's just like, it's this in your head. And that she's just getting agitated that the doctor's not listening. And eventually, all of a sudden, she looks back over at where the doctor's sitting and completely freaks out and like starts like freaking out on the floor. She goes to the doctor goes to call help, and she turns around. She's now standing upright, smiling. And she takes a part of like a smashed plate that she like fell into, some sort of ceramic. I think it was a plate. She's smiling, staring directly at the doctor, slits her throat. It's pretty gruesome. And that's pretty much how the film starts. And from there on out, the doctor is now starting to have issues seeing people smiling. And then she's starting to look into it to figure out what is happening. So that's pretty much the gist of it. It's the mystery of her trying to figure out what's happening to her, what will happen, is there any way to stop it. It's the ring, it follows. etc.
Yeah, the ending of this film, don't really want to spoil it, but I fucking hate it. It sucks fucking ass. There's a way they could have ended this film better. See if they just let the house burn down and just cut it there. You would have some form of resolution and understand what was going on. They didn't have to do the whole, oh, she wakes up, this isn't actually real. Yeah, I just really don't like it.
I'm going to struggle to talk about it without spoiling it.
Let's not talk about it. I'll say I don't like the ending. Do you like the ending?
I see. It's got the type of ending that I usually criticise. I'm not going to fully say what it is because I would end up spoiling it because I've said it about other films in this series. So I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but pretty much usually when I see it, I dislike it because I think it's usually cheaply done and is never usually, I find it usually lazy. However, this time round, I thought it was done, it was somewhat done decently, but I think they've completely fucked it up. I think they messed up by doing really weird things. I don't really think this film needed at all, and there's a few examples of it. They done it literally not too much earlier in the film, where they do this kind of weird like dream thing, and it's really weird, especially at the time they done it before, because it goes from her being in this situation where it's like, oh fuck, how is she gonna get out of this, or what's gonna happen, and it suddenly cuts to her in the car like the next day, and I don't even know if it was the next day or not, and I just thought it was a really weird cut, and I'm like, you can't just cut a film like that to there, because what actually happened? How did she suddenly end up in the car? And then that part there ends up going into being an actual dream sequence, and it's really jarring. And they end up pretty much doing the same thing at the kind of end of the film, which it really didn't need it. I've seen it coming. Well, no, I think the reason I see the reason why they done it, because they done what they done. And I could see the film ending the really cheaply way of ending, like kind of like The Grudge would end or stuff like that would end. But then they decided to go, oh no, we're going to flip it a little bit more and add this extra bit. And this extra bit made it really silly. I don't know. They just went really odd. It's got a very short film ending. I don't know how to say it. I feel like a lot of short films have this somewhat kind of end of this cycle of something continues or whatever kind of thing it is, and that's I'm really dancing around it.
Just dance around it. We don't want to spoil it for you. The ending kind of feels like other films' endings as well, you know. There's a lot of similarities to other films out there, I really just don't like the way it ends. It's pretty shit. I mean, Lisa doesn't end with a cheap jump scare, right enough. We can tell you
that's
that.
True.
So
that is true.
They're not putting a cheap jump scare in there, so there's something different at the end of the film.
Ends like suddenly, though.
Yeah, well, that's enough of the plot of the film. We're not going to speak about it any much more. Like you said, don't want to spoil it. If you're interested in what we've got to say so far, go out and check it out. And if you like these kind of films, you're probably going to really like it. I think this is one of these films that it's been really highly praised. I think it's currently got a 79% Rotten Tomatoes tomato meter, so it's certified fresh, and a 78% audience score. So they're really in line here. I'm probably in the minority, and Kenzie might be more closer to the majority.
I feel like I'm in between.
You might be in between. What's sort of funny about this film was scheduled to be released on Paramount Plus and not actually get a cinematic release.
Yeah, I think that was a good idea because the film made a lot of money. I think probably what happened is they're like, yeah, make a horror film for Paramount Plus, we liked your short film or whatever, do that. And then they saw it and went, hold on, that actually could make a lot of money.
Well, the reason it got greenlit to go into cinemas is on test screenings it was performing way more better than expected. They were like, oh, maybe we could make more money this way. And turns out they could. I mean, the film had a relatively decent budget for a horror film. I mean, $17 million is doesn't sound like a lot of money in today's film game, but it actually is when you compare it to some of the other budgets that we've thrown out, you know, like Insidious. I know it's Insidious is nearly 10 years old, but 1.5 million, 70 million, there's a big, big gulf here.
But way better film as well.
Well, there you go. Kenji's giving it away. But it went on to gross over 170 million, and it's still in theatres and cinemas across the world, so it'll possibly creep up from there over time. As the film's relatively new, we don't have any super fun facts for you. Normally this is a part of the podcast where I'll tell you some interesting facts about the film, which you might not know because you just watch films for pure enjoyment and you don't deep dive and check out some fun facts like me. I don't really have much to say on that side. Like I said, these facts and stuff accrue over time when people sort of deep dive and you know, pick them apart and find out sort of things that are interesting, maybe about the production or stuff like that. So yeah, sorry about that. I would quite like to have some fun facts about you, but I've given you some facts about the film already earlier on in the podcast, and you know, anything that we know is available. So yeah, have you got anything else you would like to bring up about it that you might dislike or like, you know, or have we sort of touched on that already?
I just want to criticise a few things. I'm already mentioned the kind of editing at certain points. There's a lot of just like weird cut choices, I think. There was one that was really bizarre to me that actually made me jump, because it was almost like a cheap jump scare, to be honest. They cut from her being in bed to her crossing the street to go to like workers, whatever she was doing, but they cut it right as like she's almost hit by a car. So like a car like honks its horn, so it goes like doo, and it's like, oh sorry. And it was just bizarre. I think it's got weird cuts like that. There was one I mentioned that goes straight into like a dream sequence right after. I didn't like the dream sequence. I don't like how the monster looks when you actually see how it works and stuff like that. Like a certain point, it does a certain thing where I thought it looked like something that should be in Beetlejuice more than than this. I mean, it's a bit gruesomer, but the weird kind of dream sequence things that happened twice in this film, I really disliked. The first one was really odd, and someone rips her face off in that dream, and it's just weird. It doesn't feel like it fits into the film. That's how I felt, really. Anyway, but overall, if you're looking for like a kind of creepy-ish horror film, this is quite creepy. It's just there's just not a lot to it, so I would recommend going to see this. And I think most people will enjoy it. Most people will be like, oh, that was quite spooky and creepy. I think for a lot of people, they will enjoy this film. I just don't think it's up to standards of some of the films that it's imitating or joining. Maybe not imitating is probably a bad word to use for it, but like that it's trying to be like. I don't think it's as good as either or. Of course, Jonathan prefers that it follows by a country mile, but I kind of prefer The Ring a little bit. So we both like those two films a lot better than we like this film. So I just feel like there's better options for watching a film like this. That's really all I have left to say about this film, and I'm pretty much happy to go to the reviews.
So yeah, with that being said, we'll just move on and give our ratings out of 5 popcorn buckets like we do here at the podcast. I'll go first. I mean, like I said earlier, I'm probably in the minority here. Like I said, the Rotten Tomatoes score are right around 80% for both. I mean, in terms of sort of metrics and film reviews and sort of websites I like to look at, I mean, RogerEbert.com, Katie Reif gave it a 2.5 out of 4, and then you've got Wendy Ide for The Observer gave it a 4-star, and Peter Bradshaw gave it a 4-star for The Guardian. I don't know if they're both Guardian. I think one's The Observer, one's The Guardian review. And I'm on Warman. Empire gave it 3 out of 5. But sadly for me, based on sort of how I feel about it and it not just being for me, it just doesn't quite work for me. And I found myself being really bored at times and it just wasn't moving quick enough. And I think that kind of goes back to the fact that it was based on a short film, and yeah, maybe elongating it out is kind of took a lot of the maybe drive away from it, and I just found it really boring at parts, and I started to sort of switch off at times. And basically, horror films are meant to have you sort of gripping your seat, I suppose. This one just didn't quite do it for me. So with that being said, I'm going to just give it a 2 out of 5 for me. And yeah, like I've always said, take my rating with a pinch of salt, because obviously I'm not a huge fan of this genre.
Damn. That's fair. I mean, although I don't agree with your rating of it, I completely get how you get there, and I do understand all your criticisms of it, because I'm, for the most part, the same with my criticisms. I have quite a lot of criticisms with some, although I did actually like some quite a bit more than Jonathan did. I didn't find it boring at all. I actually was fine with it all the way through. Although I will completely agree with him that I just don't think there's a lot there, and that is definitely just because it is a short film. It was... they expanded that a bit to make it, but it's still the same concept. I've just taken it. I've not seen the short film actually, so that actually might not be correct. But if the short film's somewhat similar, I bet what they've pretty much done is they've taken like what happens in the short film and just made it long, just stretched it out to fit in to like what happens. Like Lights Out, for instance, took like the kind of the one instance of seeing like the kind of the monster and the ending there, whereas it took it for like the whole the film takes it for like a whole night. And multiple stuff happens and whatnot, and they actually give like a backstory to like the thing and stuff like that, which yeah. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this. So I did like this film. I can't stress how enough. The creepy is the word to describe this film. It's really cool how they use something very simple to make this film so unnerving, and it's just smiling. They've made smiling look super sinister and just like makes you go whoa. Just by looking at it, it just looks off, and that's a really cool thing to like when you don't have to use an effect at all. You can just get someone to smile dodgily and add a bit of kind of eerily music to it, and suddenly you're like, this is very off-putting. So it's good to see that. I also like to see that a lot of new people are coming into the industry making stuff. It's really good to see. It seems to be that I've already mentioned this film's like other films, The Ring, It Follows. We seem to be getting a kind of The Ring type of film every 10 years. Had The Ring in 2002, and then 2014 we had It Follows, and now in 2022, 20 years after The Ring, we've there got Smile. So that's interesting as well. I think films like this are going to happen a lot more in the future. I think these are the horror. I think this is one of the genres that will be a lot of the horror films in the future. I just see that because this one performed well, and I think films. This is what people at the moment really kind of want to see, more films with this atmosphere. So I just see in the future there's so many more films like this, not like the same story or whatnot, but like the whole just the feeling of this, the atmosphere of it being a lot more films in the future, and I think it will probably make a lot of money in the process. But for me, I do like this film. I just don't think there's enough there for me to like give it any higher than what I'm probably gonna give it. It's a short film. It's enjoyable. There's a lot of things I just don't like about it that kind of annoy me about it. The ending could have been good. I think they tried to outsmart. I don't know what they tried to make it more unique or I don't know what really happened. It's an enjoyable film, and actually I think most people will enjoy it more than me. Jonathan enjoyed it, so it's a good horror film to go and watch. But I just don't think it's a great one. So I will give it a 3.
Yeah, so there you have it. It's a 2 from me, it's a 3 from Kenzie. I mean, I kind of felt you were going to give it a 3. I mean, I may be being a bit harsh, but I mean, I think just based on... I mean, this is the last film that we're going to review in this series. So I think based on the sort of previous episodes and films that I've liked, I'm just sort of maybe taking that into consideration, looking at the bigger picture. But no, yeah, so like I said, this is the last review-style podcast. One more for you is coming out tomorrow, and it's basically based on the 30 films that me and Kenzie have watched over the month. We're going to sit and argue out a Cult Film Cafe top 10 for you. And yeah, we'll post it up on social media, and you can see how you agree with us or not. And that'll be a lot of fun. And yeah, So that podcast will be with you tomorrow. And yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure as always talking about a film. Even the films that I don't like, I still like talking about them. And to be honest with you, most of the time there's an aspect of these films that I do like. It's just there's not that many of them, and it's sad to see. But, you know, maybe over the next couple of years when we do more and more Halloween specials, I might dive into more and more horror films that I love. You never ever know. So yeah, if you'd like to check out all past episodes of the podcast, you can do it by searching Cult Film Cafe. We have a unique Google search. It's probably the easiest way to find us, or you can just go onto your streaming app of choice and search for Cult Film Cafe. The podcast will be there. Go and check it out. Give us a review. Give us a wee sort of rating, 5 stars on Spotify if you use that and all that good stuff. If you'd like to give the social medias a follow, you can do. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Cult Film Cafe. And if you'd like to email the podcast, it is thecultfilmpodcast@gmail.com. So yeah, this is a special that is nearly finished, another one to go, and then we'll have smashed it every day for this month. It's been an absolute great experience, and me and Kenzie have loved it. It's been really enjoyable. So yeah, it's a goodbye from me,
and it's a goodbye from me.
And before I leave you, check out the final episode, which comes out tomorrow, because there'll be a wee bit of good news if you're enjoying these daily uploads coming to you. Then podcast out.